Live. Ooh, I had Chipotle four times this week, dog. I had Chipotle four times this week. Can you believe that shit, man? Four times, bro. I'm addicted, man. I'm addicted to that shit. You know what pisses me off? I'm gonna be honest. Let me get right into it right now, because I'm in a little bit of a mood. I got a fucking head cold, I got a chest cold, and I'm angry. I'm an angry Italian right now. My grandfather's temper's coming out. Dude, I go to this Chipotle in Cambridge like minimum three times a week, bro. And I always go in uniform, in my EMT uniform, and they're supposed to give you a discount, right? Like a half price discount. On all shit, which is pretty sweet. It's fucking awesome. And I'm living on a tight budget right now, dude. On a tight budget. So that's why I go there so much. You know, I'm banking on that discount. And whenever I go, I never have a problem getting a discount. But there's always, usually I don't. If I go before like 6 p.m. or something. But then when they have shift change, there's this fucking girl, dude, that gets on. She does like after, like evenings or something. I don't know how the shifts work. It's Chipotle. Bro, every week I go there, and every fucking week it's an issue getting the discount. It's a fucking issue, dude. I get the same thing every week. I get a burrito, I get brown rice, black beans, chicken, I get a pico. Hot corn, sour cream, lettuce, bag of chips. Fuck with me. What's up, dude? Every week, every time, three times a week minimum. All right, that's my diet right now. You guys want to know how I stay so fit? That's it, right there. That's the fucking key. Okay, and every time I fucking see this girl at the register, dude, I'm in uniform. I have like an ID badge on, and I get into a goddamn like argument with this girl every week. Like she rings me up and it'll come up to like 8 something, and I'm like, don't you guys do like a first responder discount? And every week she has to fucking check with someone in the back. Meanwhile, no one else there ever gives me an issue about it. And here's the thing. Here's the fucking thing that really pisses me off. It's like, I'm sorry. Do you have, are you part owner of Chipotle? Do you own the company Chipotle, then why the fuck do you care? Like, why not give someone a discount? Why not help them out? I'm a fucking 24-year-old dude working full-time, going to school full-time, like, podcasting, trying to have a social life. I don't have time to, like, for your bullshit. I don't have time to work overtime so I can afford more Chipotle. I need half-price burritos, okay? It's just, it really pisses me off. Why do you care so much? When I used to, some of you guys know, I used to work at a Dunkin' Donuts way back in the day when I was young. And, like, you're supposed to charge for a hot cup, right? Or whatever they call it, a cold cup, a hot cup. The styrofoam cup, you put it around the fucking iced coffee. You're supposed to charge for that. Why would I charge an extra quarter for that? You're supposed to charge for a cup of water. Ice water? Why? Dude, why? Why give a fuck? That's more work for me. Ring that up. You think I give a fuck if the dude who owns that franchise, fucking Dunkin' Donuts, makes an extra fucking quarter? I don't see that extra quarter. I don't give a fuck, dude. I do not care. So why not help someone out? These fucking people. We're in the same team, dude. We're on the same team. We both are, you know, just fucking out here living that rat race, dude. We're not big wigs. We're not that 1%. Help me out. I swear to God, I had this. After last week, I literally got into an argument with her. And then I got back in my car, which I never do, dude. I never do. I literally could give a fuck about anything ever. Like, I just don't give a fuck about most things. So, but it just really pissed me off. I got my car, and I actually had the thought. I was like, you know what? I don't hope she ends up in my ambulance one day, but if she does, I'm going to be like, oh, you want me to give you medicine? Oh, I don't know. I don't know about that. That's going to cost you extra. Fucking stupid, dude. Alright. Fucking starting off hot today. Dude, that's a new theme song today. New beat by, I just gotta give a shout out to Makai Beats. Makai Beats. He's a fucking beat maker, pianist, composer from New Orleans, Louisiana now. And he fucking composed that little beat at the beginning. That thing's dope, dude. I fucking bang out to that. Just the instrumental. I've been listening to that for like 2 weeks now, just fucking bobbing my head. That's good stuff, man. That's really good stuff. So thank you, Makai Beats. Thank you for letting us use that. Dude's a fucking beast. Alright, let's fucking, let's get into it today. What's on the docket, man? What's on the docket? Well, last week we talked about my first overdose, talked about fentanyl, we talked about Narcan, talked about the opioid crisis. This week we're going to be talking about the youngest person I saw overdose. We'll discuss, there's a little op-ed piece that I read from a doctor. Idiot. Look, here's the thing. No matter what someone's title is in life, no matter what they've like, how much clout they think they have, people can be fucking stupid no matter who they are. So I'm going to get into what this lady said about the opioid crisis. Idiot. And then I just so dude, literally still annoyed. I fucking hate her face. I hate her face, man. She, oh, you want to talk about resting bitch face? This girl's the queen of resting bitch face. I just want to fucking take a fucking dump it out over her head and just fucking hope all that lime and salt and cilantro gets in her fucking eyes. I don't even think they put cilantro on the chips. They put that in the rice, but I want to fucking crush up cilantro, put it in the bag, and fucking grind it into her eyeballs, dude. So annoying. So annoying. Alright. My first overdose. Youngest overdose. We're really changing up the mood right now, huh? I'm gonna try to keep it light. That was some feedback I got about last episode. I gotta keep it lighter. Got kind of sad at the end. But I still want to talk about the opioid crisis. Oh, and then next week I want to talk about some lighter shit. I'll preview what we're gonna talk about at the end of this episode. But it's gonna be good. It involves females, so if you're into that or not into that, stick around. So I was, okay, so the youngest overdose I ever did, the youngest person I ever saw overdose, straight up, legit overdose, pinpoint pupils, unconscious, unresponsive, respiratory depression. Remember we talked about those three things that, you know, are your youngest person I saw overdose. This girl is 16 years old, dude. 16 years old. Fucking crazy. This is the city I work. And this is what pisses me off when people like, you know, this doctor we're about to talk about. When they, basically this lady's a pain doctor. So she works in pain management. And part of her job is prescribing opioids. So you guessed it. She doesn't think the opioid crisis is an issue. Because if she admitted that it would fucking, or she'd at least have to change the practice, which people don't want to fucking do. This girl was 16 years old, bro. We responded to, it was at night. It was like the middle of the night, if I remember correctly. God knows what this fuck, my first thought was like, wasn't even, why is this girl so young? And what is she doing overdosed? It was literally like, why are you out at 3 a.m.? In the fucking streets of Lynn. on like a sidewalk, I think is where it was. I'm pretty sure it was outside that it happened. And she was with like, you know, like a bunch of other people, like she's with like four or five of her friends, all in their teenage years. They might have been a little older. They're probably like in their late teens, maybe even early 20s. So she was one of those girls, you know, hanging around with the older kids. But she was fine. We saved her, and she was okay. And then the next youngest overdose I ever did was a 22-year-old girl, and she wasn't so lucky. She didn't make it. And at the time, I think I said this last week, I was 22, and I was pretty new on the ambulance. And so that's like one of the patients that's always going to – I'll always remember, always stick out in my head. That was the youngest death from an overdose I ever saw. 22 years old. We got called to a fire station. They walk in with all sorts. So we got called before the. What happened was literally, like you hear about often, people, a car pulled up, literally dumped a girl out of the car, and she was overdosed, and they drove off. And that shit's fucking so common, dude. And I don't know. They're bad. Ditch their friend out a fucking car door, but that shit is not uncommon. That shit happens. So yeah, that was 22 years old, and she didn't end up making it, which is fucked. It's fucked up, dude. So I was 22 at the time. So keeping that in mind. Fuck it. Dr. Lynn Webster is her name, and she wrote an article for The Hill, thehill.com, just some website, some news website. And, she did a little op-ed piece about the opioid crisis, which I found, literally disgusting the way she talked about it. Fucking idiots, dude. So let me just read you a little bit. So the media and policymakers are mistaken when they decry an opioid crisis rather than a drug crisis. Unfortunately, the mislabeling of drug crisis leads lawmakers to chase one suspect while the mastermind is making a clean getaway. Little does she know there, she's literally actually, it's like pretty ironic because people like her are the ones making a clean getaway, in my opinion. A recent New York Times op-ed called Drug Dealers and Lab Coats begins by citing that 63,000 drug overdose deaths in 2016, that there were 63,000 drug overdose deaths in 2016. Christoph implies that these are exclusively opioid-related deaths, but they weren't. The 63,000 drug-related deaths involved all drugs, including cocaine, benzos, and methamphetamines. So she basically goes on in this article to say how there were 64,000 deaths that year, and all these news sources are claiming that, are insinuating that they were all caused by opioids. Or they talk about, when they talk about the opioid crisis, they talk about all these deaths, and they don't clarify that not all these came from opioids. The thing that she, doesn't understand is that she, like, literally fucks up all her statistics in this article when trying to back herself. So later on in the article, she says, researching this article and ensuring its accuracy was difficult because the available information is complete and, in some cases, conflicting. That said, the preliminary 2016 reports of drug overdoses indicate that 3 out of 4, or 75% of drug-related deaths, appear to involve a substance other than prescribed opioids. Therefore, of the estimated 63,000 overdose deaths, only 1 out of 4, or 25%, was associated with prescription opioids, which literally isn't what they're saying at all. She's saying that It says, so the statistic she's citing is this. 75% of drug-related deaths appear to involve a substance other than prescribed opioids. So she's saying, so that means that only one-fourth of them were caused by prescription opioids. But that's not true. If you have a polysubstance overdose, which means involving more than one substance, that statistic is included there. So if you have a prescription opioid and then also, like, you know, another drug on top of it, that's also included in that 75%, but she doesn't realize that. So the number, she says only 16,000 overdose deaths were caused by prescription opioids, which just isn't true. It's actually much higher than that. And there's also, like, statistics by the CDC where you can look up that say that, you know, they correlate the number of prescription opioids in an area to the number of overdose. This is actually a quote from the CDC right here. We now know that overdoses from prescription opioids are a driving factor in the 15-year increase in opioid overdose deaths. The amount of prescription opioids sold to pharmacies, hospitals, and doctors' offices nearly quadrupled from 1999 to 2010. Yet there has not been an overall change in the amount of pain that Americans reported. Death from prescription opioids have more than quadrupled since 1999, which is fucking insane. So literally the CDC is, their statistics directly oppose what this lady's saying. Her, she doesn't even have any statistics to back herself up. She basically has, you know, just anecdotal evidence, which if you want to go anecdotal evidence for anecdotal evidence, I can tell you right now that I've seen multiple overdoses from prescription opioids, and that when you have areas where there's, you know, a high number of prescription opioid deaths, you also get an area where it's also an area where there's a lot of prescription. I'm sorry. When there's an area where there's a lot of overdoses in general, the number of prescription opioids in that area tends to be higher. That's been my experience. So that's what I got to say about that. Fucking lady's stupid, dude. And here's the thing. In like, doctor, I remember in college I did this paper about how doctors are, a lot of doctors, especially like primary care physicians, they get incentives for prescribing certain medications. So a company will literally say, if you prescribe this X number of, if you prescribe our drug X number of times this year, you get X number of dollars. It's literally an incentive program. So you end up doctors just fucking raking in cash for prescribing opioids. So yeah, there we go. That's that. Hey guys, now's a good time, as good a time as ever, to tell you to follow the Brewsaders on social media. That's right, the Brewsaders podcast. Follow us on Instagram. You can buy a t-shirt at tpublic.com. Go to our website. The link is there. You get some sexy t-shirts. You can, if you find an overdose, you can take your Brewsaders t-shirt off and, you can, you know, put it behind their head and make sure they're comfortable. And, or you can just, wear it in general at Brewsaderspodcast.com for all your, t-shirt and Brewsaders needs. Dude, I love how on podcasts they just fucking jump right into ads. You literally be listening to like a murder podcast, they'd be like, the son of Sam brutally murdered the daughter of Walter Willoughby without any mercy in one of the most brutal killings of the 21st century. And they'll be like, Postmates, do you want bread or you are looking for ice cream? Well, Postmates will come deliver it to you. Son of Sam skinned his victims alive, and he showed no mercy. Considered the most brutal murders of the last 500 years. Stamps.com. Stamps.com. If you have, you want to print out stamps in, you want to write fan mail to serial killers in jail, you need stamps.com. We'll send you a printer, and you can put that printer in your room, and that printer is dedicated solely to printing stamps. That's stamps. It's the biggest waste of space you'll ever have in your house. Are you a hoarder? Well, then you need stamps.com and a printer. You need a printer from stamps.com. I'm so fucking hyped up on drug medicine, on fucking cough and cold medicine, dude. Oh, man. So that's it, dude. That's all I really wanted to talk about this week is in terms of the opioid crisis. Not too much to go on there, but what I do want to say is next week I'm going to be talking about, hopefully I'm going to be interviewing some people. I'm trying to get some of my friends on here that have some good fucking opinions, some funny dudes. And I think the topic for next week is, have you ever gotten, it doesn't have to be a girl, have you ever gotten someone out of your league? Have you ever been with someone who's just blatantly out of your league? Blatantly out of your league. You're like, wow, why are they even talking to me right now? I want to hear those stories. Also, if you have a story about that, if you've ever gotten with a girl or a guy that's out of your league, taking them on a date and it's went well, or maybe it's went poorly, you can call into the podcast, dude. You're more than welcome to call into the podcast. We want to hear your opinion. The Brusaders Hotline, hit it up. It's 857-293-1442. 857-293-1442. Call with your stories or tell us about ask us a question. And yeah. So that's going to be next week. Also, I just want to end with this comedy recommendation. Yo, Dave Chappelle dropped 2 goddamn more specials on Netflix on New Year's Eve. You kidding me? Are you kidding me? A lot of people ask me who's the best comedian of all time. Honestly, I think this year Dave Chappelle might have cemented himself as the greatest comedian of all time, in my opinion. He dropped 4 comedy specials in the span of a year. That's fucking insane. Granted, he took 12 years off. Granted, he vanished off the face of the earth for 12 years. But he still dropped 4 specials in a year that made up for it. Fucking, and they're all unreal, dude. Unreal. Highly recommend that. I watched it with I watched the newest ones with my dad and my sister. They fucking loved it. It's something the whole fam can watch. So that's my comedy recommendations. Next week, I'm going to be talking about girls and guys that are out of your league. I forget how, you know, I still got to figure out how to sign off in this bitch. But for now, I'm Dave Caggiano, and this is Single Batch. And thank you for listening. Peace!